Welcome to Know Your Foe on Colts.com, an in-depth look at the upcoming matchup. Here are your hosts, Casey Vallier and former Colts wide receiver, Bill Brooks.
Time for another installment of Know Your Foe right here on Colts.com. Welcome in. I am your host, Casey Vallier, joined as always by Bill Brooks, who is a member of the Colts Ring of Honor. The Colts are under the bright lights of primetime football for the second straight week. This week on the road, they're in Dallas at AT&T Stadium to take on the Cowboys for Sunday Night Football. And to get us in the know on the Cowboys is Todd Archer of ESPN. Todd, thank you so much for the time. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. We're, as expected to be where this team is. Another primetime game. Last week didn't go as expected. But this week, you know, it's a new week. You never know what to expect. But this Dallas team, I mean, they're one of the best teams in the league, and it seems that's kind of where I want to start. Dak Prescott comes back from the injury. We saw what we saw at a Cooper Rush, but it seems like since Dak has been back, this team has really elevated their game. How has he helped elevate this team?
Yeah, it took a little bit for everything to start rolling, but you're right. In the last five games, they're number one in offensive points per game, number one in third down percentage, number two in red zone. He's completing 72% of his passes. The one downside, or maybe a couple downsides, they have too many pre-snap penalties, and he's been intercepted too many times. But, yeah, this is as good as this offense has played all year as what they got going on now. And it's almost the complete opposite of last year when they started fast and kind of fizzled down the stretch. This year they started slow, in part because Dak was out with the thumb injury, but they really kind of picked it up here in the last 5 weeks, and they feel like they found a good rhythm offensively that they can sustain for the rest of the year.
Now, Todd, another reason I believe this offense is playing at a high level is the play of both running backs, Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. How has this 1-2 punch elevated this Cowboys offense?
Yeah, you know, that is the engine of this offense, really. It kind of makes everything go. It makes those third down opportunities easier and shorter. Bill Parcells, when he was a coach here, used to say the best red zone teams are the ones that run it into the end zone. Those guys have 13 rushing touchdowns. So you're seeing both of those guys really complement each other. Zeke is the power guy that we all know, pick up the dirty yards. Pollard's the guy that can still run between the tackles, but he's the guy that can be the threat to take it the distance wherever he is on the field. And the offensive line has really come together well, and part of that is continuity of being around and being together for a good portion of the season. They've only had one guy miss two games all year, their left guard, Connor McGovern. Everybody else has basically been in the same spot since week one. So again, you know, what was a question coming into the season when you don't have Tyron Smith because of a torn hamstring has now become a strength for this team. Maybe not the way that was, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago when Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, and Travis Frederick were at their best, but still one that's very good in the NFL. And those two running backs, they feel like they can, whatever run they call, both guys can do it, and it makes it a difficult matchup for the defense.
Now, Todd, I want to move to the wide receiver position. This is CeeDee Lamb's third year in the league and his first year not playing next to Amari Cooper. What have you seen out of CeeDee Lamb this year in his play?
Yeah, it's a little bit like what we've talked about with the whole offense, just a steady growth. And, his numbers this year, I was looking it up, and it surprised me that he was seventh in the league in yards. And I was like, when did that happen? And think about what they could have done, him and Dak, if Prescott doesn't miss those five games with the thumb surgery, where he would be. He's on pace for 99 catches, 1,300 yards, 8 touchdowns over a 16-game season. That would have been the best numbers a Cowboys receiver has put up really since Dez, when Dez is in his prime, and maybe even going back to Michael Irvin. So he's a guy that knew a lot of eyes were going to be on him. There's always been eyes on him, going back to his high school time, his time at Oklahoma, and when he's the first-round pick of the Cowboys. But it's not been a spotlight that's been too bright for him. He's really come on and played really well. The one issue, I think three of Dak's six interceptions are throws down the middle of the field to CeeDee Lamb. For some reason, that's the one area that they kind of get bogged down in a little miscommunication. I'm thinking of the Packers game off the top of my head. But there's no argument that CeeDee has done a nice job of filling in and replacing Amari Cooper as the Cowboys' lead receiver.
We're joined by Todd Archer, who covers the Cowboys for ESPN. Before we switch over to the defense, I wanted to stick lastly on the offense. You mentioned the offensive line, but just talk about how good that offensive line has been, especially when you talk about Tyron Smith being out.
Yeah, you know, Tyler Smith was their first-round pick, and they drafted him out of Tulsa to be the tackle of the future, and they were going to play him at left guard this year. Throughout all of the training camp, all of the preseason, he didn't take one snap at left tackle. His first snaps at left tackle were the week before they opened the season against Tampa Bay.
Wow.
And, you know, he's had some issues, as any rookie's going to have, but the Cowboys believe they have their tackle of the future and can still move him inside when Tyron Smith is able to return here in a couple weeks from that torn hamstring. But he's been a plus player. Another guy that's made a big step this year is their center, Tyler Biadasz.
Yeah.
A guy that was not the strongest guy, but is very smart, knows how to probably keep himself out of trouble as a center where he's not getting pushed back into the quarterback and things. He understands what his strengths and weaknesses are. And then their right side of the line, you know, Zach Martin is still Zach Martin. I'm sure people want to debate who's the best guard in the league between him and Quentin Nelson. I think people here would say Zach and people there would say Nelson. And then their right tackle, Terrence Steele. Those two guys have been among the best right-sided duos in the league. And you look at their run game when they do run to the right, it's pretty powerful. It's pretty effective. And everything has kind of come together when, again, like I said, that was a perceived, if not weakness, serious question mark coming into the season. Because remember, they cut Lael Collins in the offseason, their right tackle. So Terrence Steele was moving into a position, while he had played a lot his first couple of years, was still going to be first-time, full-time starter. And again, he's done quite well.
It's definitely something that's kind of been a flip of the script here. That was thought to be a strength here for the Colts heading into this season, and they've definitely struggled in that aspect. Now, moving over to the defense, it only makes sense to start with the guy who's, I think, in my eyes, on his way to winning Defensive Player of the Year in Micah Parsons, but he's just in year two. The things he's doing in just such a short time in the NFL, it takes so many other guys so long to figure it out. Why has he adapted so quickly to the NFL game?
He's just an unbelievable athlete. Like, there really isn't anything he can't do. This is a funny story, but to me it speaks to a little bit of the type of athlete he is. The Cowboys have a fundraiser in the summer where they have a home run hitting contest at this AA ballpark not far from their training facility. And he went out and bought a bat just for this. And he's hitting legitimate home runs out of this stadium. Now, it's not like a little league field. It's like a big league park, right? I mean, you know, I couldn't tell you the last time he played baseball, but right. I think the night before he might have gone to the cage to like get a swing and rhythm. But that's kind of, he's just a very naturally gifted player. And I don't mean to take away from how he understands the game and how he knows the game, but you said it, like, usually these guys take time
right.
to develop into what they become. And I covered DeMarcus Ware his entire career in Dallas.
Yeah.
And it took him a couple of years to become the Hall of Fame player that he is. And Mike has got 12 sacks this year, six two-sack games. I mean, 38 quarterback pressures. The guy's been phenomenal. And, I don't want to say he doesn't know what he's doing, but imagine what he's going to be like when he really knows what he's doing.
Exactly.
The sky's the limit for the kid.
Now, Todd, not only do the Cowboys have one of the top defensive players in the league, but they have a number of good pass rushers as well, and Endurance Armstrong, DeMarcus Lawrence, and Dante Fowler. What has been the key to the play of this defensive front?
Yeah, you know, when Mike McCarthy took the job here, he told Jerry Jones that he wanted the Cowboys line of the 1990s, right? And we all know the Emmitt Smith lines that he ran behind, but their defensive line was 8, 9, 10 guys deep. And while there wasn't a superstar on there Travis Haley is a Hall of Famer, so I guess they got to count him as a superstar. But it was a lot of good to solid players, and I think that's what you have here. You just have so many guys that they run through that they're able to keep fresh and do a lot of different things with. You know, Micah Parsons can play off the ball. He can play outside. He's played defensive tackle every now and then in pass rush situations. Sam Williams, their second-round pick, same thing. Marcus Lawrence moves around. So it's not just that they have a bunch of guys that can get after the quarterback. It's how Dan Quinn can move them all around to create mismatches or to create one-on-one pass rush opportunities for a specific guy. The one Achilles heel for this defense, and it could be telling this week, is their run defense. That has been an issue. It's been better the last couple weeks. But some of their run defense success has been predicated on them taking leads in games and forcing the other team to pass to catch up. So they have their formula for success, but I'm interested to see how they handle the run this week against the Colts.
Yeah, now I want to move to the secondary right now, Todd. And Trayvon Diggs had a monster year last year with 11 interceptions. In this offseason, he said he wants to improve his game and become a more complete corner. Now, he doesn't have the number of interceptions he had at this point last year, but in your opinion, has he taken those steps to become a more complete corner? And if so, in what areas?
I'll go with what the coaches say, that he's having a better year this year, even if he doesn't have the interceptions. Just the three picks. He's in a little bit of a drought. This is he's gone four games without a pick. It's the longest drought he's had since the first seven games of his rookie year. But I can see where they're coming from, because you're not – last year he gave up a lot of yards, too. He had all the picks. But this year he's given up fewer yards. And really, you know, Cooper Kupp had a 75-yard touchdown on him in week three, I think that was, out in L.A. But he's not given up a whole heck of a lot here lately in terms of the big plays and really catches. Like, he's really done a nice job of limiting everything to his side, 13 pass breakups. And a little bit like Micah Parsons, like, as a guy learns more, man, what can they really become when they have this natural ability?
Yes.
I do think there's a little bit of that with Trayvon Diggs, that he's understanding the game and route concepts and down and distances better, to where he'll take some chances, but now these ones are better bets than he probably had taken his first couple seasons.
All right, final thing with you, Todd. When we're looking at this game, I think – you know, the outcome of the game for both teams are definitely different. For the Cowboys, they are trying to stay pace with, you know, the likes of the Vikings and the Eagles, especially the Eagles in that division. When you look at where the Cowboys are going to end up, is it Super Bowl or bust for this team, especially the way they're playing right now?
I guess it's always Super Bowl or bust for the Cowboys. It's the way that this organization is kind of set up through Jerry Jones and the attention that it gets nationally and maybe even internationally, who knows. But this team has a chance to get to the Super Bowl without question, because there's, you mentioned the Vikings. Cowboys just beat them 40-3 two weeks ago in Minnesota. They were in the game in Philadelphia earlier this year with Cooper Rush as their backup, but were done in by three interceptions. So they do want to make sure that Christmas Eve game matters and means something,
right?
If not for the division, but to send a message if they were to meet in the playoffs. So that's why these next 3 weeks for the Cowboys, even though it's against AFC South teams of the Colts, Texans, and Jaguars, they know that they have to not only keep pace with Philadelphia and, to an extent, Minnesota, but win them in a matter that is not just scraping by, that you're continuing to improve. Like, you're finding your best football as December begins and you get into the last, well, now the 17-game season messed this whole thing up.
Right.
But as you get into the final quarter of the year, right? And, you know, Minnesota was a good start. You come back 4 days later and beat the Giants. A little sloppy in how they played, but that's just, hey, get a win and,
right,
and go get you a little bit of an extra rest. And now this starts a stretch here where realistically or theoretically or however you want to say, they should be 11-3 going into that game against Philadelphia on Christmas Eve.
Well, there you go. Todd Archer, he's covering the Cowboys for ESPN. We got a big game for the Colts and the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. Todd, thanks again for the time. Really appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
Well, the Colts are on the road in Dallas for Sunday Night Football, taking on the Cowboys. Next week, we're going to take the week off as the Colts welcome in their bye week. But a couple weeks from now, we will preview the Minnesota Vikings. But this Sunday, it's the Colts and Cowboys in Dallas. For Bill Brooks, I'm Casey Vallier. Enjoy the game and go Colts!